Listening Library presents Ashlords by Scott Rankin. Read for you by Rebecca Soler, Andrew Iden, and Lauren Fortgang, with Neil Heligers. For the Rankin boys, who have torched me in every video game, sport, and board game in existence, I am who I am today because you taught me how to get back up and try harder the next time.
Part 1. Lightning. Our people's history is written in great bolts of lightning. Clear skies for a century or two. And then, a single remarkable moment strikes. It illuminates a new way, even as it kills the old. The Brightness, an address to patriots. 1. The Alchemist. Imelda. Farian wakes me at some ungodly hour. He comes in like he lives here, drags me out of bed, and gets me into a pair of boots. My corner candle's out, so I can't even see which cloak he throws around my shoulders, or which hat he slaps on my head. Farian would say that's for the best. According to him, fashion and I were never properly introduced. He's always threatening to throw away my favorite dresses. It is a point of contention between us. We stumble through the dark. Someone's asleep on the couch. An uncle, but I couldn't say which one. They all snore the same. Empty bottles spin away from my clumsy steps. Farian keeps a steady hand on my back until we're in the candlelight of the kitchen. He sets a cup of coffee in my hands, lets me take a few sips, and then pushes me out the door. It should be black at this hour, but the sky's cloud clear, and the stars recognize a stage when it's there. Dueling nebulas slash over the dark, rolling mesas. I hear Dr. Vass explain. Each light is a sun. To each sun, planets. To each planet, moons. How endless it all is. Farian looks back. You awake yet? No talking until I can see what color your clothes are. He laughs. Farian has always laughed easily. Doesn't know his way around a joke, but he always makes you feel like you do. My best friend and confidant lopes ahead. His limp, barely noticeable. A satchel full of camera gear tucked under one thick arm. He's always been big. Fourth son in a family of farmers with three older brothers that have all grown even bigger than he is. But that's because Farian's made his world more than digging irrigation pits. He skips out on his chores to enhance photographs or edit our film series. He's bound for an education if he keeps at it. As long as his parents don't disown him before he can get there. We're not the only ones awake at this hour. The door to Amaya's bar bangs open, and three ranch hands slide out into the slick shadows, laughing and singing the wrong words to the March of Ashes. Farian hums the tune long after we've passed them. Down the road, a pair of postmen trot past on slender mounts. Both tip their brims, looking like any other riders but for the government-issued gloves threaded with gold and the sacks full of letters strung to their saddles. We arrive at the ranch well before sunrise. It's dead and dark, quiet-like. The stars are fading. "Looks empty," Farian says. "Only Marshall is out there." I squint, but Farian's eyes have always been better than mine. I can't make out much beyond the nearest row of fence posts, but there's nothing surprising about the quiet. It's a holy day. The Ashlords only bow to the gods, I remind him. He snorts, but says nothing. We've caught hell for skipping gathering the past few years, but we both know it's the only way to get any respectable riding time. Marshall owns the only Davidian-friendly ranch in the district. He won the races about 20 years ago and used the prize money to build his own ranch and buy his own herd of phoenixes. He promised it would be a training ground to hopeful Davidian riders who couldn't afford their own horses, like him. It was a stunning kindness. Until the money started running out. It always does. Gold is worth less when it's in Davidian pockets. Not to mention they tax Davidian landowners twice as much. A few years back, Marshall opened the ranch to some of the lesser Ashlord nobles. Carved out just a few days of the week at first, but it wasn't long until he was booked solid. I don't blame him either. Ruling class gold pays too well to turn down. "What's it going to be today?" Farian asks, glancing back again. "Something new?" "Something old," I reply with a smile. "Something long forgotten." We head in different directions. Farian strides out to talk with Marshall. He's been working up to asking the old champ to do a biopic, but Farian's about as careful as thunder. Won't make any noise until he's sure lightning's already struck. I leave them to it, heading for the stalls. Marshall might have sold out to the Ashlords, but there's still no ranch like his. As a Davidian, I get to ride his phoenixes free of charge. And he slashes component prices by half. He even lets us pay off all the expenses through a little side work. I'm pretty sure there's no better setup in the Empire. At least, not for a Davidian like me. His barn is a fine thing, too. All stone, with slightly sloping roofs and lamps dangling every few paces. I walk the outer courtyard, hearing horses occasionally stomp in their stalls on my left, seeing columns and arches running on my right. Marshall sank most of his winnings into the place. People called it a mistake, but the quality of the facility is the only reason gold keeps moving from Ashlord pockets into his accounts. He has 7 city-bred families boarding horses here, and more on the waiting list. I'm just glad he hasn't turned the whole place in that direction. He's still got about 8 of his own horses, and they're the closest I'll ever come to calling one my own. At the end of the yard, a great red door waits. I lift both latches and put my whole body into a shove. The door opens into the dark. I smile as a great smash of scents carry through the opening. I follow them inside. Practiced hands find the lamp thread and I give it a pull. The bulb takes its time, warming the room with light, brightening until I can see the endless containers with all their precious powders. All those possibilities. I remove a half-ripped theater poster from the pocket of my riding jacket. Proper paper is too expensive, but street litter and old playbills are always free. I copy ingredients from the poster to one of Marshall's inventory forms. I cringe, though, when I see the price he has listed for unborn ash. 70 legions. Pick my pockets, why don't you, Marshall? After a second, I scribble the component down. I know today's video will make up for the cost eventually. It still stings to use anything that costs that much. I haven't taken on a component with a price that steep since my disaster last year with powdered gold. Burned through 150 legions in less than 2 clock turns. But I won't make that mistake again. After noting each component, I take 5 racing containers and link them up. Marshall's cubes are a cheaper version, about a fourth the size of race regulation ones. But I'm only doing one rebirth anyway. It takes a few minutes to locate each component, measure out what I've purchased, and strap the cubes to my riding belt. I lock the door behind me and find Marshall rolling a cigarette outside. He keeps his thinning hair long and pulled back in a knot. His eyes are bright and blue, so shockingly Davidian that it's like looking across oceans, a few hundred years into our past.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?